Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses for an audience of real entrepreneurs. I'm just going right through this intro. My friend Shane Mack has been kind of telling me about this company that he's involved with. He was running a venture-funded company. I backed the company. I invested in it. But at times it felt like this new company was the thing that was more exciting, or maybe that's just the way Shane is. Whatever he's talking about, he's always super excited about. Turns out he had this assistant and he and she decided, you know what? Why don't we start a virtual assistant company and let other people hire people like you? Michelle Penzack, that was his assistant who's now running this company, would tweet out her numbers. Here's how this business is growing. Here's how well the business is doing. Here's how many new customers we have. And I've just been watching and watching this freaking business grow and have been in awe because we're in a world where there are virtual assistant companies all over the place. How is she still growing? So I invited her on to talk about how she did it. Her company is called Squared Away. What makes it, to me, interesting is that she's a military spouse who discovered that military spouses can't stay still in one place because they have to move as their families move. And so she realized these are really good people who can't get jobs in the same spot. I'm going to create a company that will help them get hired. And anyway, I've done too much yapping. I'll just finish up by saying we're going to find out how she built up this business thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. The first, if you're looking for a podcast to listen to after this, you got to check out Traffic Secrets. The second, if you're inspired to build your own business, you need a website, I'm going to convince you to go and sign up for HostGator. Michelle, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Tell me the numbers. What's the revenue, number of customers? Where are you today?
As of right now, our numbers are about 148,000 in revenue, and we have about 162 clients right now.
Where were you, say, the end of last year, 2019?
We're roughly around 85,000, 90,000.
85,000, 90,000. And the year before that?
Probably around 20, 25 monthly.
That's phenomenal. The phenomenal growth. And it's like slow, steady. Actually, I don't even want to call it slow and steady. Shane told me that he feels like this business can grow a lot faster, but he says, Michelle just wants to make sure that we don't have too much work without enough people, don't hire too many people and then can't afford to pay them. And then we have to lay them off because we don't have enough customers. It's like, yeah, you're nodding.
Yeah, absolutely. Slow and steady is my motto. I don't want to grow too fast and, you know, not have the work for our assistants or not have enough assistants available to support the clients. And nobody wants to be on a wait list. So we want to make sure that we are doing right by both sides of the house, the assistant and the client.
You were working for Shane through a virtual assistant agency. Give me one fun, interesting thing that he asked you to do. He'll want you to be open.
Oh, absolutely. So if everybody knew Shane and working with Assist, he called me one day and asked me to find him the tiniest boat in Cannes. And you're laughing while I say this, but yes, find him the tiniest boat in Cannes, get a saxophonist to play on the dock next to it and fill it up with ice and champagne from my station in Hawaii. Yes, I was able to handle that.
Because what he wanted was, and Assist was his company, what he wanted was a presence in Cannes, but he couldn't afford the types of luxury boats that would get people's attention. So he said, how do we still stand out, get customers? You're nodding and laughing. This is totally his like life hack, right?
Absolutely.
So what does he get by having the tiniest boat with champagne and a saxophone player? People notice him as they're walking around?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Cannes, south of France, you're thinking, you know, massive yachts and beautiful boats all over the place. And here's this tiny little boat with a saxophonist on a dock. And, you know, it's something that people notice and they definitely take note of.
Well, what are you talking about? Roughly $20,000?
Oh, no. It was less than that.
Probably. Less than that?
It was probably like 5 or 6 total.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm guessing that he got customers from that. I know he got to post on social media that he was going to Cannes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was super fun to do. It was a very unique task, something totally out of the norm. And there were all different kinds of bits and pieces that went into that. But it was ultimately very much a success for him and the system.
He hired you through a company called Zirtual. The way it worked with Zirtual was you pay Zirtual. Zirtual puts you together with a personal assistant that you have a direct relationship with. And then you pay Zirtual, Zirtual pays the assistant. I remember the day that Zirtual decided they're closing up potentially, and eventually they reopened. I was working with them. Tell me about that day for you and what happened with your relationship with Shane then.
Oh my gosh. Shane and I actually started working together about a year after Zirtual. I call it the great boom of the virtual assistant world. The day that happened, this is where my story starts to sound like a really bad country song. My husband just deployed 2 weeks before. I was also 3 months pregnant with my first little boy. And as you can imagine, waking up, being a manager of a team, I didn't have a team anymore. I didn't even have a company anymore. And I had 13 people who were coming to me asking me, what's happening? What do I do? And I'm like, I don't have any answers. Nobody's telling me anything either.
You found out, look, this company that everyone's talking about, it's well-funded, it's got a lot of attention. Suddenly they were closing that day, right? They ended up reopening in this new way, but they were closing. You were going to lose your job. You start calling up your clients. Were you crying?
Oh, I was definitely an emotional hot mess. I was like, I am so sorry. I have no idea what's going on right now. I don't think anybody in our company has any great answers right now, but I'm absolutely going to make sure that you're taken care of moving forward.
You did. And? Yeah.
And most of my clients, I actually had 5 clients at the time, and 4 of them actually ended up coming with me
directly
in my independent business. Yes.
And was this you saying, look, I don't want to lose your business. I want to take good care of you also selling yourself, or did it just happen to happen that way?
I think it was more of I always want to do right by people that I'm working with. I want to make sure everybody's set up in a good way. And they weren't getting the support from my home company at that point. So I wanted to make sure that I was still able to give that to them and they weren't left essentially hanging with no support for their company and their own personal needs.
You know something? I was working with Zirtual at the time. I worked with someone who was right in Oakland. I'm in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We're talking about right over the bridge.
Yeah.
She didn't ever contacted me and I didn't know how to contact her because all I had was her Zirtual email account. Okay. So you did that. You started working with him.
Yep.
At what point do the two of you say, let's build this up a little bit more? This seems like it was, from what I understand, related to this post that he did about company perks. It's called Let's Get Real About Company Perks. He posted it on Medium and he said, look, every company seems to give you these perks that most employees don't really care about. We're going to give our team at Assist things that really matter. And he talks about how if you're going to travel, we're going to get you clear membership so you don't have to wait in line. We're going to give you some money to go get in shape. But he also, I think at the time, said, we're going to give all of our people a personal assistant. Am I right?
Yep.
And that's where he contacted you and said, Michelle, I need you to kind of clone yourself for my people.
Yes.
And exactly. You said, I'm willing to do it. I'll find other military. No, you said it has to be military spouses because?
Because they're the most untapped, just badass group of people that I think get forgotten in the professional world. Because most businesses that I've interacted with, they think, oh, military spouse, where you're only going to be here temporarily.
Like what? Give me an example of what you saw.
Well, in my experience, I have an administrative background, but when I met and married my husband, I thought that it would be really easy for me to get any type of administrative role on a military base or around a military base. But I probably went on about 30 interviews when my husband got stationed in North Carolina. And each and every time, it didn't matter if it was, you know, a high level executive assistant or answering phones in a law firm, nobody wanted to hire me because as soon as they found out I was a military spouse, they said, thanks, have a good day, essentially.
You're going to disappear. We can't count on you.
Yeah.
I see that you worked, for example, at Kaiser Permanente for what, 2-3 months?
Yeah.
That's the type of job we're talking about.
Yeah.
Got it. And you said, look, is there something that makes military spouses especially good, dependable? Are they like their military member spouses?
I think what makes military spouses incredibly unique is their ability to think outside the box with no checklists. When you become a military spouse, the you don't really get a rule book or a guidebook about how to do a PCS from North Carolina to Hawaii. It's here's the end goal, figure out all the moving pieces and how to make it happen.
What's a PCS?
A move from one duty station to another.
And so they just say to you, look, I'm going to be stationed somewhere else. You need to figure out how to get us there. Meaning what? Get us a house. Get us what?
Housing, any pets that need to be shipped, childcare for your children, having your vehicle shipped, that Got entire it. Process, moving your household goods, having it packed, having it actually picked up and moved by the military. Everything that you could possibly imagine moving as a civilian times 10, because the military isn't exactly very efficient with things. So it makes life super complicated.
And you just have to figure it out. And if you're figuring this stuff out, finding a way to get a small boat in Con is not that hard.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, how do you know who to pick to now take on these new clients who are Shane's employees?
So what we have done is essentially taken into consideration people's backgrounds, their attention to detail, and given them practice tasks on how to handle specific situations. We actually use the small boat in Con as an example of how would you handle this task. And that's kind of how we figure out who's going to be a really good fit for coming into Squared Away.
So if they're going to clone you, you want to see how they would handle one of the odd tasks that you did. Anything stand out in the responses that people have given you?
I actually had someone come back and say, there's no way you can do this task, especially from Hawaii, where you're 12 time zones behind. And it's absolutely a possibility. I did it for 2 years in a row. So I know it's possible. But there were definitely people who said that it's not possible.
The first person who you hired, is that a friend?
She was not a friend at the time, but she is very much my soul sister now. Yes, Kelsey is my very first clone.
How'd you find her?
I was actually asking in one of our military spouse groups if anyone was interested in taking on this role. And she was one of the standout personalities. And she definitely passed all my tests. And she just wanted the opportunity and was very hungry for the opportunity to let her light shine. And she's been amazing.
Okay, so far we're talking about a job plus. It's your job plus one other person that you're kind of managing but working together with. It seems to me that this business grew after Shane was in South by Southwest. What happened at South by Southwest? All he told me was he had a drink and had a thought.
That's when he called me and said, hey, Michelle, I need you to scale because I need you to grow with Assist and I need you to start cloning yourself. So,
that was just him saying, hire people. I have this thought. I need to give it to my people. When does it become a business though?
I would say we really started gaining traction the beginning of 2019.
There was no moment when it becomes a formal thing. It just is him bringing his employees on for assistance, Assist his company, pays you to take care of them. From what I understand also, his friends would then say, do you know someone? People read that blog post that I mentioned. We're not talking large crowds, but enough people read it who said, you know, I could use an assistant. You're saying that you're getting it for your people. How are you doing it? Could you help me get someone? And he was going to be an owner. You were going to be an owner. You were going to connect together. You're a majority owner, right?
Yes.
Can you say what your share is versus share?
Mine is 62 and his is 30.
62 and 30. And then what happens to the other 8%?
Daniel Houghton is another of our owners, and he's at 5. And Kelsey, our original assistant, is at 3.
Who's Daniel Houghton?
Daniel was actually one of my clients that I called the day Zirtual essentially imploded. So he got to hear my hormonal, I'm sorry, speech for the very first time.
CEO of Lonely Planet, according to Google.
Yes.
Yeah, he and Shane are good friends. Mm-hmm. They've talked through ideas together. You get together, you decide you're going to start a business. And let me pause here. tell anyone out there who, if you're on the verge of creating a business, one of the first things you want to set up for yourself is a website, right? Well, if you go to hostgator.com/Mixergy, you're going to get a really low price on a website that just works. And then you can focus on the rest of your business. I could tell you endlessly about all the features, unmetered disk space, unlimited email addresses, all that stuff you can get, frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, from other places. So why pay more to those other places if HostGator's got the same thing? And as you've heard so many of my guests here say, they've hosted on HostGator because it just works and it's been around since 2002. Talking about almost 20 years now. Go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. When you throw that /Mixergy at the end of the URL, you're going to get the lowest price that they have available and you get tagged as a Mixergy customer. Get started today. And of course, if you hate your hosting company and want to continue with a better hosting company, do what I did. I moved Mixergy to HostGator. And you know what happened? Nothing. Not a single thing. Nobody even freaking noticed it. Well, I did. Every time I go into QuickBooks, I notice I don't pay as much. It just works. HostGator.com/Mixergy. Anything change once you've decided to create an official company, or is it just more people coming in and now Shane and a couple of other people have a piece of the business?
As we've grown, I've started to bring in more directors and managers internally to assist me with our team and managing the day-to-day.
That's big. That's different. At some point, you also had to learn to be a founder, a CEO. One of the first decisions was, what do we name this thing, right? It's no longer just Michelle bringing on some of her friends for some of my friends. It's now an official company. He told you, well, Shane's got all these friends. He said, go talk to my friend, Robert Stevens, founder of Geek Squad, also co-founder of Assist.
Co-founder of Assist, yes.
Also the owner of beautiful, I guess, land in Sonoma. When I can't find camping space here, I'm kind of tempted to just call him up and say, Robert, can I just bring my tent over to your spot? It's beautiful space. One of the reasons why he said, go meet Robert was for naming. What's Robert's advice on branding?
Robert's advice was to think about what our mission was, what we wanted to do, what we wanted to portray to the outside world, and start thinking of different phrases that invoke that, and make sure to have a really good glass of wine while doing it, and get just a tiny bit buzzed before you started thinking about all that stuff. So my husband, who is a Marine Osprey pilot, his favorite phrase to say is, I'm getting this all squared away. And making sure this is squared away at work. And when I first told him the idea, he was like, I never say this. Like, why do you think this is a military phrase?
Does it bother you that you don't have squaredaway.com?
A little bit at first, but somebody else actually has that as in a, I think it's a closet organizing business.
Squared Away might close up at some point, or maybe they should just move to HostGator. Their site is so freaking slow. They still have a link to like clip stuff to Evernote, except it doesn't fully work. It takes you to the old Evernote website. So who knows? Maybe it'll be available at some point soon.
Maybe. Hopefully. We'll see.
What else did you need to do? So you got a proper name. What else did you need to do to actually turn this thing into a real business?
We got an accounting team, which is phenomenal. And then we started trying to find the assistants.
And they get paid only when you can get them work, right? If they're not working, you're not paying?
Correct. So typically our matching turnaround with assistants is about a week and a half right now from the time that they start with us until the time that they have their first client.
Got it. All right. So let's talk about getting clients. Now, how do you go beyond the random person who happens to ask Shane or happens to ask you because a friend of your client's is looking for work? How do you get beyond that?
So one of our greatest resources has been women's groups, women's professional groups. There's a few out there that I'm a part of. Hey Mama and the Female Founder Collective have been phenomenal resources for our clients. They are literally everyone that you can potentially imagine in every space out there. And everybody always needs more time in their day and more time to focus on the priorities in their businesses. So they've been a phenomenal resource.
So you're part of the women's group and you're asking them for help with your business. And by the way, some of them become customers of yours?
It actually went a lot easier than that, funny enough. I joined the group, let them know that I was the CEO Squared Away, and this is what we did. And people just started reaching out saying, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Let me support you guys. I definitely want to work with you. And just sharing that with them.
Hey Mama, the community for working moms. Why did you join it?
It's so hard being a working mom, especially a CEO mom. And there are all different kinds of things that we have to deal with. Like mom guilt is a real thing.
I don't understand that. I never go to an outside group when I'm looking for help. It's one of the issues that I've got, frankly, with my relationships with my friends and my wife, that I just sit with it for a bit.
Yeah.
So you go to this, it's an online group. By the way, they've got really great sense of design. I was expecting like an old fashioned mama website. No, really good sensibility. What do you do? Do you text in the group? Is it a group chat where you get help? Is it live events that you decide to go to and got help?
It's mostly via Slack and emails. Women who are just being completely transparent about their needs personally and professionally. And, you know, I felt so welcome and so, you know, like these are my people. Like they're doing exactly what I am in different niches, and they understand the struggles of having children who are in various stages while they're also trying to build their company. So it's been great to be completely transparent with them and say, hey guys, I'm struggling because my kid is teething and, you know, I have a company I'm trying to build. Like, how do you find that balance?
So help me understand, how are you getting customers beyond this?
We have actually, most of our clients, current clients, have been the source of our referrals. We haven't really done any marketing other than sharing on our social media and sharing our newsletter with our clients.
What about these? Did you create some kind of playbooks?
Yes.
What are the playbooks?
Oh my goodness. We have so many different types of playbooks. There are playbooks for working in digital marketing, social media marketing with clients. We also have our favorite one that we've worked on with a few different people is our CEO fundraising checklist for startup CEOs who are going through the fundraising process.
Where you create a checklist, and in order to get the checklist, people give you their email address. And then when they give you their email address, they get into your funnel. Am I right?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Who's creating that stuff? Who's creating the content? Who's creating the sales funnels?
So the content is a collaboration between Shane Kelsey and myself. And the funnel is very, very basic. Our clients love what we're doing, so they're sharing it with their professional networks and friends. And, you know, they're just reaching out saying, hey, I've heard great things. I want to work with you guys. So our funnel is very, very simple right now.
And you're targeting new entrepreneurs and the people who invest in them because?
They don't have the fundraising quite yet to invest in a full-time employee.
Right.
And we're able to bridge that gap and give them exactly what they need without the employee overhead.
All right. I'm going to tell you about a podcast. It's called Traffic Secrets. It's by this guy, Russell Brunson. He literally wrote the book on how to get traffic. He created ClickFunnels, which is software that eventually I think you should check out because it helps you create beautiful landing pages that then automatically feed into getting somebody to buy the first thing. And then once you have their credit card, you can then upsell them on a membership with you. The whole thing, it all works beautifully. It'll even handle your email marketing. So he created this whole thing and he said, you know what? I've done a pretty good job of getting people to come to my site and sign up for my software. My customers have done a great job of getting people to their landing pages, which they built on ClickFunnels, to get more customers for their business. He says, I'm going to write the book on how to get traffic. It's called Traffic Secrets. And since a lot of people don't have time to read the book or aren't sure they want to try it, he decided to create a podcast with some of the ideas in the book. For anyone who's listening to me, and for you, Michelle, especially, Shane Mack, if you're listening to this and checking up on this interview, I recommend for all of us that we should be subscribed to Traffic Secrets and whatever podcast app we love. And if you have one of these speakers, which is what I have around the house, sign up. Just yell at the speaker and say, hey, play Traffic Secrets podcast. Are you into to the smart speakers? Shane used to have three of them because he was building software for them. So I'd go to his office and he'd have three different ones sitting on his desk.
I am. My 4-year-old regularly yells at Alexa.
So. To do what? Mine does too.
Oh my goodness. Alexa, tell me a joke is his favorite. And Alexa, play Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Mine is play Star Wars theme or Batman theme. But I do like podcasts. I do like having some sound around the house. What's your onboarding with new customers like?
From the very beginning, they chat with our client relations team, who gets a better idea of the type of support that they're seeking and the type of personality they want to work with, the time zones, all of their preferences. And then they actually get a matchmaking form sent over to them after the call with our client relations team. Once that's complete and we have it back, our client relations team matches the client with the assistant who is best suited for them. And we use a couple of different variables to match. It's all based upon the client's preferences and who on our team is going to be the best fit for that. And then the client, we send over the contract, get signed, and then we introduce them to their assistant.
And it's all on a subscription basis, right?
Yes.
What do you charge?
Right now, our 15-hour plan is $600 for the month. 25 is $1,000. 50-hour is $2,000. And 75 hours a month is $3,000.
So you basically took the Zirtual playbook. I think they might have changed it, right? Eventually, Will Schroeder's company bought them out, and then they switched from 1099, I think, to W-2. Or maybe they switched before. I don't know. Did they switch before? They switched. You were W-2 towards the end, right?
We were W-2 in 2015, yes.
Right. And so then what's different about your company from that company?
Oh, my gosh. So many different things. One of the things that Zirtual used to kind of bank on, and I didn't exactly think was fair, was the fact that most clients don't use all of their hours, which I didn't think was fair. I think it's very important that clients see the value in the time that they're paying for each month. So our team is trained to be more proactive as opposed to reactive with clients. So they're the ones reaching it out to the client if they're not hearing back. Hey, Andrew, haven't heard from you in 24 hours. I'm here. Let me help you.
In 24 hours?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If we're not hearing from our clients in 24 hours, then we're reaching out. Because we want to make sure you use that time.
Doing what? How do you suggest something to somebody who's busy?
We have different options. So when our clients first come on board with us, we have them do an onboarding call with their assistant. The assistant chats with them about everything that they can handle, everything that the client is looking for them to handle. So the top three things they want off of their list immediately. And then from there, the assistant starts making suggestions based on calendars, based on different meetings they're seeing, things that are taking their time away from the priorities in their businesses. Our assistants are always making suggestions.
And then you put it into a CRM. What software do you use?
Right now we use Pipedrive.
Oh, wow. And why Pipedrive? I've been using Pipedrive for years. Mm-hmm. I love it because it lets you put people in different states. Every stage of your sales process gets its own column, and then you get to put people within the right column as you move them forward towards the win, which is
right, exactly.
At the end. I do that for guests on Mixergy so that I can keep track of where they are. Did we pre-interview them? Did they make sense? Does somebody else vet them before they come to me? Why do you use it? Once you get a customer, why do you use that?
It's super easy. Like, obviously, you've been using it for a while. It's very transparent. It's super easy to find everything and track deals. We make notes and reminders to follow up with different leads, and we're able to better track them throughout our entire team from start to finish.
But you can keep track of them in Pipedrive, even to whether they've responded to you in the last 24 hours, or mm-hmm. your assistant just knows.
That's how we track our leads. Our clients that the assistants are working with one-on-one, they're dedicated to that one client. So if they're not hearing from, say, you as a client in 24 hours or however long, then they're reaching out saying, hey, Andrew, I'm available. We have this time to use.
Got it. Definitely. And that's not software. That's just them knowing
that
they haven't heard back.
That's just them managing that relationship, yeah.
I remember Zirtual, I think, at one point switched from a direct email address to they were using Zendesk, right? Yeah, all activity could be tracked. And then also, if my assistant was out, somebody could easily just jump in and take over and see what happened before. Is that what you're using?
We're not using anything to track assistants being out right now or able
just
to
straight
step
up
in
Google.
It's just, we're just using our individual email addresses. And then it's become a very personal relationship, more of like a concierge, because we have our client connections team who, if an assistant is out for whatever reason, reaches out to the client and says, hey, by the way, just want to let you know, Amanda is out today, but Michelle's going to be filling in and she has all of your information all up to speed. So feel free to go ahead and start sending tasks her way.
Okay. Basically what we're seeing here is very similar to Zirtual. And one of the big advantages that you have is you don't have the Zirtual funding. You don't have the Zirtual need to be big. And you've got you internally saying, hang on, we're going to make sure that we don't hire more people than we can handle. We don't take on more clients than we've got virtual assistants to work with, right?
Exactly.
I asked Shane, I said, what's the biggest challenge? I try to contact, when I don't know the guest, I try to contact somebody who knows them to give me some insight. I said, tell me about her biggest challenge. What's she like? Well, first you told me what you're great at. And we talked about some of it. We didn't talk about how you time box people. Like you're really set on, we're going to do this at this time. Work is not going to come back to me in the middle of the night, no matter what kind of, right?
Yes.
Will you ever take a call at midnight if a client's having some issue?
No, I don't.
Will you let your people do it?
It's kind of up to their discretion. I am very much big on having the work-life balance. It's really hard, especially as a military spouse. Our spouses are gone so much of the time that family time where they're home is incredibly precious. So we are absolutely available during our working hours, but unless, you know, you feel like it's a crazy emergency, then I would kind of leave it to my assistants whether or not they want to answer after hours.
So then the second thing he said was, she takes on too much work. Like what?
Everything. You can imagine. Shane has been telling me for a while that I need to start giving away my tasks because I'm doing too much and I need to teach my team first and foremost to be able to handle that on their own.
Like what?
Doing the client matchmaking is something I really enjoy doing.
I think he said that you were doing even Stripe, the payment processing on your own until recently.
Yes, up until 2 weeks ago.
Until 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Even that, why couldn't somebody else do that?
I wanted to make sure that our clients, obviously finances is huge for everyone, but I wanted to make sure that their billing was done appropriately. They weren't being charged like for a client upgrade and not getting the right pricing and that kind of thing. It was just me being extremely meticulous and wanting to make sure that that process was going as smoothly as possible.
Do you use checklists a lot internally? Do you use software to manage them? You do. What do you use for checklists?
My personal checklist that I use, I really like Asana, and I also use good old fashioned pen and paper.
And so anything within the company has a checklist, or is it mostly just onboarding and getting new customers once?
No, everything any process that we're going to do more than once has a checklist for it.
Has a Asana checklist, for example?
Client transition.
How do you transition from one assistant to another?
From one assistant to another. If an assistant leaves because of PCS, if an assistant leaves because, for God forbid, they were fired, something like that, we have a process for each one.
What's PCS?
Handle that. Moving.
What's homecoming?
Homecoming is when your service member comes home from deployment.
And so what happens if someone who works for you has homecoming for their spouse?
Then we generally know ahead of time, or with the military, we have an idea of a window because of operational security. But we let the client know ahead of time, hey, Michelle's going to be out. Her husband's coming home from deployment. This is the week she's going to be off. So Amanda's going to be stepping in to support you during this period. And by the way, everything is all set up on our end and we will let you know
as Michelle's
going to be off because we have a checklist that we run.
That's an Asana. Mm-hmm. What's the most ridiculous thing that you put in Asana checklist?
Oh my goodness. that's a really good question.
Mine was the most ridiculous is poker night, because I want to have little things set up. I forget to do little things that go into setting up a good night of poker at my house. Mm-hmm. And my least ridiculous, most used over the years, is things to pack for a trip. I can just pour myself a whiskey, pack within like 5-10 minutes, have everything that I need for any trip that I have, and not forget the clicker if I'm going to be, you know, presenting at an event, and not forget my running shoes if I'm going to be running a marathon. And that I've had since I've been in business, basically. Someone on my team said years ago, it takes you too long and you're too stressed about packing. I'm going to make a really bad checklist for you, and then you could just keep adding and changing it. And I've done that. How about you?
I think our most ridiculous checklist is, it sounds very simple, but party planning is extremely detailed, from down to getting clients to get on a call to discuss their needs. For their parties.
For a company and party, you mean that type of thing?
I'm sorry, what?
You mean for a company party?
For a personal party, any type of party.
Got it.
It's getting on a call with a client, having your checklist available, what questions to ask to make sure that you're getting all the information in the first call and you don't have to go back to it. Color schemes, theme, you name it. I think there's probably about a good 40 questions in our party planning checklist.
So there have been virtual assistant companies before you. There'll be virtual assistant companies after you. Why are you doing well? What could somebody who's saying, I want to do something like this, what could they take away from your business to understand why you did well and why they could do well too?
I just think it all comes down to coming back to your mission as much as possible. Our mission is to employ as many military spouses as possible. And we do everything possible to make sure that we can keep doing that every single day, whether it's making internal changes in our company to make sure that we have the money to do it, or we're just changing the way that we're doing our internal communications. Like, literally everything that we do comes back to our mission. And I think being incredibly transparent with what we're doing is super helpful too, because, you know, we just don't have the time to waste with not being open and making sure everything's out there.
Maybe I'm being too cynical, but it feels like a lot of companies have missions. They really want to do well, but they're not doing well. If I were to analyze it, let me tell you why I think it's doing well, and then you tell me if I'm missing something. Be open with it.
Okay, absolutely.
It seems to me like there wasn't a need to form a business until the business formed on its own almost. It was just you continuing what you were doing before and then slowly adding as the business had enough clients, it became a business. Before you sat down and came up with a name, it was essentially a business, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's a big one versus, I don't want to put Zirtual down at all. I think that there's so much that Maren Kate Donovan has done with that company, with that idea, that was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you're the opposite in that you don't have to scale to be really big. You don't have to keep hitting growth numbers. You just can, it's enough of a job for one person, and then it's enough of a job for two people, and then it's going to continue to grow that way until one day Shane and you decide, you know what, or maybe it's Robert Stevens comes in and says, no, this is too big an opportunity. We got to go in. Who knows?
I think it was because people who were typically, you know, going to an office, traveling, were kind of forced to do a 180 and be at home. And we've already been working at home for almost 3 years. And a lot of our clients really started leaning on us personally and professional, because most of them didn't know how to work at home remotely with kids home with them and spouses home and what that dynamic looked like. So a lot of it went into us just trying to make sure our clients were taken care of, making sure they were okay, number one, during COVID, and kind of digging in with them more to say, okay, well, you've pivoted your business. Let me help you in this way now so I can pivot how I'm working with you.
And is it mostly more business from current customers, or is it more customers coming on?
Actually, a little bit of both. We started digging in more with our clients, so they started increasing their plans. And then companies who were doing well in COVID and not struggling were actually reaching out for support remotely, because their teams had now been made remote as well.
And so their teams needed more what type of work?
Everything from basic admin to research, assisting with podcasting is some things that our clients are working on. And, you know, just making sure that, you know, they're business spaces and offices like are taken care of, bills are paid, that kind of thing. So literally everything that you can imagine our team has worked on during COVID.
All right. The website is, forget what I said earlier, it's Go Squared Away. Go to that website, gosquaredaway.com. And I want to thank my two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first, if you're out there and you're launching a business or have a business and you hate your website, you got to go to hostgator.com/Mixergy. If you look at the bottom of my website, you'll see I was so happy with them. Michelle, this is a mistake. I put their logo too freaking big. You know what it was? I got excited. I said to someone on my team, Michael, put their logo on our site. They're really good. And people don't realize how they've been on a Mixergy site that's hosted by Hostgator. And they don't realize that Hostgator just freaking works. So because I got that excited, Michael took a giant freaking logo for them. Literally, their logo for the Hostgator is bigger on the bottom of my site than my logo is anywhere on my site. And they didn't even pay me for that. It was just me one time getting excited. Michael's understanding, Andrew's excited. I think I need something that's big enough to satisfy his excitement. So he did it. And it doesn't really matter enough that I should go and make their logo. Look at this. It's just huge. I'm looking on the site. It doesn't matter
your
enough that I
could have double checked you with that, Andrew.
Sorry?
One of our assistants could have double checked that for you.
Just like you would have asked me, said, how big do you want it to be?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I'm happy that Michael didn't ask me and just went with it on his own. I would have liked for it to have been, let's say, a quarter of the size. This is just, it's big. It takes up my whole freaking iPad. Look at the screen. Almost a whole iPad screen, right? That's the logo for my hosting company. And they didn't even pay for that. All right. Hostgator.com/Mixergy. And now that this interview is over, you should go find out how to get more traffic to your site by going to whatever podcast app you're listening to and look for Traffic Secrets, because Russell Brunson, who created that show, knows that if he calls something a secret, you're more likely to care and pay attention. I love that he does stuff like that. It's called Traffic Secrets. It's really good. Go listen to it in whatever podcast app you're listening to me on. Bye, everyone.